Hello, and welcome to Friends for Life, a podcast of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's National Mission. We're here to come alongside you as we journey through life under the cross. What does it look like to care for our neighbors in body and soul? How do we tend to our own body and soul? How can we speak up for life? And finally, how do we share the faith with the next generation? Join us as we have these conversations and learn together. We hope you'll stick around and be our friends for life.
Thanks so much for joining us. I'm your host, Steph Neugebauer, here with my co-host, Deaconess Dr. Tiffany Manner. Welcome to season 6 of Friends for Life. We're excited for this season. We have several really awesome guests who are going to talk us through as we approach, of course, the November 2024 elections, but even beyond that. So if you're listening past the election time, there's still relevant stuff for you, a listener, to be able to interact with. We talk about Christians in the civic realm, meaning government and policy making and day in, day out social activity that involves communities beyond just our church family. So I'm really excited for this season. This is one that is, of course, especially relevant every 4 years, but it's not just on a national level. It's relevant for everyone who finds themselves living in a community. So, Tiffany, what are you excited about with this season, and why do you think it's important to be bringing this to our listeners right now?
Well, of course, right now, across our communities, we're seeing activity that are related to a national election. And as you pointed out, Steph, this is not simply a four-year cycle in the United States and then other places around the world. We live out our lives as citizens on a daily basis. We're interacting with people, our neighbors, right around the places that we live, the authorities that God has given us to provide leadership in our towns, our cities, and our communities. And so we need to consider, how is it that we interact with people out in our world? And how is it that we live out our responsibilities as Christians? The national election cycle is every four years, right? We're electing a president every 4 years. But there's other opportunities to be involved in the decision-making in our civic realm. There's local elections that happen more frequently than 4 years. There's state elections that happen more frequently. There's school boards in our towns. There's town hall meetings. There's all kinds of ways that Christians can be active and involved and weigh in on the decisions that are being made in the places that we live in the world that God has given us to steward. So we really need to not be passive and sit back, but to be active and involved. Of course, that can start so simply in prayer, praying for leaders. But then there's other activities as we have the opportunity to get involved in. So I'm excited for that, to take up, again, not just what we ought to do every 4 years, but life in what is known as the kingdom of the left.
Can you define that a little bit more? Let's talk about what we mean when we're saying in these episodes, civic realm or left-hand kingdom.
Sure. Well, let's start with the left-hand kingdom, right? There's several different ways of describing the places, this world that God has given us to live in. And there's certainly the estates that Lutherans define, family, church, and the laity. But we also talk about the kingdom of the left and the kingdom of the right. And I'm not really good in general life remembering my right from my left. You don't really want to be a car with me and me giving you verbal directions. The GPS was God's gift to everyone whom I ever have to give directions to. I've literally sent people to the wrong town because I've mixed up my left and my right. So so for me, even talking about kingdom of the left and kingdom of the right, I sometimes use other words to solidify it in my mind. So another way to remember it is the sacred realm and the secular realm. So what is the church and what is the life that we have outside of the church in society? And the kingdom of the left refers to the society that God has created. And the use of the word kingdom is a reminder to us that God governs and rules everywhere in our world. So it's still our Lord's kingdom, even if it's not within the church. So the kingdom of the right, meaning the sacred realm or the church, of course, it's very obvious to us that we've got a God who is prophet, priest, and king, ruling that kingdom. But it's the same in the kingdom of the left. It may not be as immediately obvious to us and to our neighbors, but we confess that God puts all authorities that we have in place and that he governs and rules through them. You know, we know the fourth commandment, and as Lutherans, we describe the fourth commandment as God giving us authorities of our parents, but even beyond that, to all authorities that he's given us, that we honor, serve, and obey them. So that's a little brief description of the kingdom of the left, kingdom of the right. The kingdom of the left, you know, we also refer to as the civic realm. Some people say politics, although we have to remember politics is not a word that is synonymous with government. You know, politics is a decision-making process. It does not become a word that is connotes some type of judgment. Some people can kind of use it as a slur, right? Like, oh, that's political. Well, political can be very good. It's decision-making is when something is political. It's a way of making decisions. So those are some ways to describe this aspect of our life here in this world.
It'll be really interesting for our listeners, as it was for me, as I've listened to and learned from our guests, as it can be confusing. Christians belong in both realms. And so how do we operate when we're simultaneously living within this eternal kingdom, which has no end, that is the sacred realm or the church, which will be forever? And then also, how do we operate in the secular and the civic realm, which is temporary? It has its place. In the Old Testament, people of Israel demanded kings. And we see time and time again this play out throughout the history of Scripture, but then also the history of our own nation. This wrestling, because we're all sinful creatures, of now we've been put under this kingdom that we've asked for. How do we be faithful? And so that's really the underlying question here, which we're hoping to provoke, is how are we faithful citizens of both realms? I'm curious to know what your thoughts are about what kind of emotions may be at play, maybe even in your own family. What kind of inner turmoil might there be as we approach the U.S. presidential elections? And then how do you feel, if you had to put your finger on the pulse of America right now, what's America's thermometer reading?
Oh, wow, what a question. It's probably changing across the United States on a daily, if not weekly, basis. And so, you know, for us to sit here and have this conversation in the early autumn, and for listeners to listen to this throughout the fall of 2024 or even beyond, I want to speak to the past few presidential elections. We talk about emotions. So we see this in media, right? The past couple of elections, of course, there's rhetoric where people will describe how they're feeling about multiple candidates. In the United States, we're primarily a two-party system. There are other parties that exist beyond the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. But these two major large parties tend to dominate the election cycles, and the independents or libertarians and other parties might elect a few representatives, but you really don't have some of the national traction that the Republican Party and the Democratic Party have. So you see it in both parties, and people who may not even declare a party and remain independent voters. You can see it on social media. You can see it on mainstream media. People with describing if so-and-so wins an election, I'm going to do something major, dramatic. Even people describing how they may move outside of the United States to another country because they disagree with the election results. So that's an example of emotions running high, and we see it on the entire spectrum. Some people become disengaged, right? So that's the spectrum of like emotions running high. on one end, and then apathy or lack of emotion on the other. We'll say like, this is just too much for me. I'm not going to pay attention. I'm going to withdraw as much as possible from this decision-making process that is election voting in the United States, and, you know, not paying attention to it. So, you know, just about any emotion you can name is probably occurring. People having anger, resignation, other people feeling hopeful. You know, there could be some anxiety for folks. And, you know, I like to read history. I'm not always reading history, but several times a year, I read history books throughout different periods of time and different countries. And, you know, we can see these emotions occurring, you know, not just now. So while in my adult life, which is now, you know, several decades, I remember it was in the 1980s when I was first eligible to vote as an adult, and observing our society since then, it does seem like the swinging emotions or the rhetoric seems to be particularly amplified over the past 8 years or so. I think it's also possible to say that this is not just this era and time. So what I see in reading history going back hundreds of years is people felt these same swings of emotion other periods of time as well. I was reading recently about the Great Depression, right? And people vilifying political leaders in the United States at that point in time. And people, you know, having this love-hate kind of reaction to individuals. So it helps us to remember that it's not just now that there have been strong feelings about the authorities God has given us throughout time. So it's interesting to watch. I personally, in my family, we don't get too emotionally engaged in elections. We vote, we faithfully participate. I've taken our children from the time they were tiny to vote with us into the voting booth directly. And they would get the little stickers and you know, so brought up our children to be active and involved citizens as well. And we've got all of our children eligible to vote for the first time as they're all adults. And we, our youngest is now 18. So we're having some conversations, you know, but at our house, we're not experiencing some of those highs and lows of emotions. What do you see, Steph? We live in two different states. we're neighboring states, but we live in two different states. So what is it like for you and your community?
Yeah, I live in Arkansas. You live in Missouri. And so we're still both in the Midwest and not on coastal states at this time in our lives.
Yeah, last election I was in the coastal state, you know, living in New England. So I think that this state will probably vote differently than the last state I lived in. Yeah.
Yeah, most likely. I see tensions run high, even within a community where I would say a lot of people vote very similarly, whether it's even local elections. Our local elections are really very mild from what I can tell. And I would say that same here locally for the presidential election, a lot of people will be voting very similarly. But as I travel, whether I'm, you know, driving or flying to other states, that's really where it becomes apparent. When you're sitting in the airport and there's a news station on, my visceral reaction is automatically to shut down because everything in the news seems so inflammatory. And so I'm probably more reticent to avoid. That's what this season is. It's how are we guided? How do we walk through even when tensions around us or within us are high? And so now I'm a mom, and how do I go through this in a mature way where we're praying for the election? We're praying for people who govern over us right now. I want to give an example to my kids of how do mom and dad react living under authority, whether we agree with policies or not. How do we talk about people who are in government and authority over us? Do we add to the inflammatory nature that we see in the news or we hear on the radio or podcasts or what have you? Or do we talk in a way where our kids sense, you know, regardless, everything will be all right? And mm-hmm. how are we faithful citizens living in the world locally, nationally? How do we talk about other countries? How do we pray for other countries going through distress or stressful times in their history as well? And that's the kind of parent I want to be, and that's the kind of kids I want to raise. And so we offer to people who have similar sentiments who are listening, we offer a whole episode about that as well. How do parents, how do teachers, how do pastors talk to youth about what's going on in the world around them politically, in government? How do Christians wade through, you know, a period of time in history or in an election cycle where our governmental authorities are less than honorable? And that's often, if not always, because we're all sinful. I would love to communicate. How do we take the emotions, kind of how do we separate the emotions so that instead of tension, instead of stress, instead of inflammation, how do Christians offer peace in this time? How do Christians pray even when policies are less than kind to Christians and to our faith? And how are we faithful to our Lord even in this time as well? So then the question becomes, which our guests will help us to talk about, how do we honor the fourth commandment in respecting our governmental authorities, which God's placed over us? And then how do we honor the eighth commandment too? So how do we speak well and kind of our neighbors? How do we speak well and kind of our governmental authorities? So what do you think, Tiffany? How do we strive to keep, especially the fourth and eighth commandments during this time moving forward?
Yeah, I love that you give us the opportunity to look to the small catechism, to Luther's small catechism. So the fourth commandment, of course, honor your father and your mother. And Luther wrote at the answer of, to the question, what does this mean? And he says, we should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. Those words, love and cherish. It's easy to love and cherish the people that God has given us in our families. Well, I say easy, maybe it's not always so easy. Sometimes we struggle with that too. But when someone's very close to you, you know them intimately, and you've got authorities who held you when you were a child and comforted you when there are struggles, the love develops because you know them personally. But when we're looking to the rulers and authorities that are more distant from us, I've never met a president of the United States. I've never shaken the hand of a president of the United States. About as close as I can get to that is, I have met the current speaker of the House of Representatives. But even that, it was a moment. We exchanged probably less than a minute of words. So how is it as a Christian I can love and cherish and serve and obey and honor them? Well, then I look to my vocation in general as a Christian, to speak about someone with love and charity, to pray for them. And so, God gives us that to do for all of these authorities, whether it's at school or at work or in those who are in the government. I love that in our prayers, in our liturgy in the Lutheran Church, that we pray for our governors and our president. And we pray for them by their first name, right? That gives an opportunity to think of these individuals as people for whom Christ died. As individuals God created and formed, as he's done for every single person who's ever lived, but someone for whom Christ died, and we get to pray for them publicly, corporately, in church, but then we also get to at home. So that is a way of loving these neighbors who serve as authorities that God has given us, you know, serving it and obeying, you know, and God has given us ways to do that through our vocations as well. When we pay our taxes, when we obey the laws that these authorities have created for us through the policy making that they do in the processes locally, at state, and nationally. You know, so those are some ways that we can keep the fourth commandment when it comes to the civil realm. You also referenced the eighth commandment. You know, that might not be as immediately obvious of a commandment to apply to the kingdom of the left. So the eighth commandment, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You know, oftentimes we think about that, the people closest to us in life that we're interacting with on a daily basis. But the answer to the what does this mean question in the catechism is really helpful. Luther writes, we should fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation, but defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything in the kindest way. So let's think about that with these candidates for election and the people who win elections and then go on to guide the policy and the decision-making in our government. They may not ever know what we say about them, whether we slander them or say right and libel them and hurt their reputation. But we still, as Christians, need to do these things. We need to watch how we talk and to speak with charity and kindness about others, to have rational, calm conversations. You know, if there's arguments or disagreements, to remain calm and manage our emotions well so that we're able to be loving, even when we're talking about people we've never met and we may disagree with the way they're governing. But we still know that our doctrine of vocation tells us that God is the one who is ruling through these people. And so, you know, we can remember about the eighth commandment that we put the best construction on everything about our neighbor, that we interpret the things that they're saying and doing in the best light, instead of immediately leaping to putting the worst construction on the things they might say and they might do. So, you know, those are some thoughts on those two commandments that you brought up and ways that we need to remember, because you're right. We are sinners, saints as Christians. So we aren't going to do this perfectly. We're forgiven by our Lord and we can be strengthened by him to do better each morning, remembering our baptism, remembering that we can love our neighbors, even those who are distant from us.
Yeah. And for all of our listeners today, just continue listening on to this season, to these episodes, because our guests will go into this more, flesh this out more, the commandments, how they guide us, even during this time. So then, Tiffany, as we're wrapping up today, let's zoom out a little bit and put this into perspective as much as possible, especially an eternal perspective. How does God's peace and how does God's promise to his people and how does his presence with us always, how does that ground us during a time like this? And how does that give us wisdom and perspective?
Oh, I'm glad that you brought that up and posed that question. You know, there's law and gospel. I think our listeners are going to hear that in these episodes, and we've been describing it already. The laws are the actions that we must take. This is where we're talking about the Christian duty to be a citizen, that it is something, it's a responsibility, that's something we ought to do. We ought to vote. We ought to talk well with our neighbors. We need to raise our children so that they participate in the kingdom of the left in a responsible way. You know, that's the law that people are going to hear. And your question focuses on the gospel, God's peace, his promises, his presence with us. You know, one name for Jesus is Emmanuel, right? That means God with us. And so he's with us always. He promised to the very end of the age. And that's true of this life in this world, in the kingdom of the left, in the civic realm. He is with us in this, and he's at work in our world. And so that should be a comfort to us, that even what we're experiencing now is nothing surprising or new to our Lord, that he's here amongst us, bringing peace and working peace through his people. That's why we receive all of the blessings he has to give us through his word, through the sacraments, you know, those means of grace. So that can help us to understand and live out everything that's going on in the world, and our world seems so crazy. But, you know, remembering, you know, in that promise that Jesus has given us, he's with us always. We also know that, you know, Christ himself is wisdom. What we're experiencing is nothing new, that God has seen all of this before. There's nothing new under the sun. And so in his presence, his wisdom that has reigned throughout the ages, we can take great comfort in that, that understanding of the gospel that God is pouring out on us now and will till Christ's return.
Scripture tells us, you know, time and again, that kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. But of course, the kingdom of our Lord reigns forever. And that's great comfort and peace. And the Christian hope is not found in successes in an election cycle or perceived successes, even in legislation. The Christian hope is found in Christ Jesus and the hope of his return and the promise that those who are baptized into Christ and who believe get to live with him eternally. And so that always, no matter what is going on, offers us perspective during any time in our lives. So finally, what are we hoping listeners will get out of listening to this season?
Yeah, we hope that they'll learn something new, a new perspective that they've not thought about before. We've got some really interesting and wise guests who'll be coming on. But above all, we always hope for our listeners that they will see and hear Christ in these episodes, and that they would understand that his love, his forgiveness is poured out for us. So, you know, that is always my prayer when we have these new seasons drop. And I am so excited for this one, because there aren't a lot of people talking about Christ in terms of election season. And Lutherans do that. Lutherans do that very, very well, as we're Christocentric. So above all, that we recognize that Christ is here to and has something for us as we interact with one another in the civic realm and in the kingdom, or, you know, also known as the kingdom of the left.
Yeah, so listeners, happy listening. God bless you, and God bless the United States. Thanks to our listeners for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review, and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at LCMS Life. And finally, listeners, we want to hear from you. Do you have an idea about a guest you'd like to hear from or a topic you want talked about? Email us at friendsforlife@lcms.org. We want to hear from you about what you want to hear about when it comes to issues of life.
Thanks for joining us. Friends for Life is a podcast that discusses the life God has given and the people he has called you to serve, right where you are in God's mission.